Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your infinite mercy and grace, and your not just willingness but eagerness to invite us into your presence. I ask that you help me as I reflect on the scriptures we just read. Bless the meditations of all of our hearts, that we may evermore seek you. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So Jesus didn't come to boss us around or to create new puppets that he could control. He came to save us. It's really easy because we're all human. We are ourselves sinful. We see the world around us, which is filled to capacity with sin. It's easy for us to forget that Jesus didn't come to boss us around. He didn't come to control us. He came to save us. There's the old saying, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. This is true for us. It is not true for Jesus. He came to save us. And unless we are very careful to remember that, it is easy to misunderstand what's going on. If you would like, we didn't actually end up turning the lights on, but if you would like to open your Gospels, Luke chapter 9, that's where I'm going to be trying to look, if you want to follow along. We're going to look specifically at chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It is very, very easy if you are like me. Maybe you are all healthier than me and not quite as paranoid. It is very easy to look at this and interpret it as a command that we have to follow, that if we don't follow, we will be punished for disobedience. That's not what it is. It is easy to interpret this and say, all right, this is Jesus saying, no, you have to follow me and nothing else, and I'm going to judge you on how well you do, and if you do not meet my standard, and his standard, for the record, is perfection. If you are not willing to follow me even to death, I am going to judge you. You are going to get a poor mark. You are going to die. That is not what he's saying. He is saying that our expectation should be that it will be difficult to follow him and that it is going to feel like dying to follow him because we are going to have to choose between him and all of the other things we want. And he is telling us that the way to life is choosing Him and not all of the other things that we want. But He is not saying He's going to have a scorecard of how well we do. This is an arbitrary command that He has established, and He's going to judge us according to it. Because He came not to control us, but to save us. We have to interpret this through that lens. Jesus is not saying, this is my command, you do this, and I will judge you. He's saying, right now you are all dying. The world you live in is dying. All the things that the world tells you you should pursue, those will kill you. I'm here to save you. And the way to save you is to help you understand you have to choose me, not those. This isn't a command that He gives us. It's a description of our situation. We are all dying because we choose death. We choose the things that will kill us. We choose to turn away from God to things that do not give us life. And we do this because everything in the world tells us to do that. The world tells us this is what life looks like. You find fun things to do on the weekend. You go on fancy vacations. You save up your money. You live in a big house. None of these things are bad. Unless you do all of those things instead of following Jesus. If that is your understanding of what life is, it will kill you. And it won't just kill you now. It will kill your soul. It isn't that Jesus wants us to be unhappy. He even says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to feel the joy He feels in God, to have His peace that passes understanding. He wants all of these things for us because He loves us. But our situation is that we choose other things. In the parable of the sower, he throws the seeds on cement. He throws it in a place where there's not very good soil. He throws it in a place where there are weeds, and then he throws it in good soil. Good soil is easy. You hear the word of God, you produce good fruit. It's spectacular. The place where there are weeds, Jesus describes this as, these are people who hear the word of God, but they're distracted by the cares and comforts of the world. And so they don't listen to the word of God and let it produce fruit in their lives. Both cares and comforts, because our enemy, he doesn't have rules that he follows where he just gets to attack us with bad things. Cares can distract us from God. We get into a bad situation and we feel like God is far away. We lose faith. That makes good sense. Our enemy is also delighted to make us comfortable, to give us all sorts of good things so that we start to think, aha, this is life, not God. Look at how happy I am. And the warning of Jesus is those things also, if they make you turn from God, if they make you think, this is my life, instead of God is my life, these things also will kill you. If it can seem like a very daunting command. Because all of us would, we want to be comfortable and happy. We want to not face horrible, hard times. That's normal. God understands this. He's not stingy with his blessings. But we have to remember, even the good things in our lives will kill us if we don't keep them away from our relationship with Jesus. Jesus has to be who we turn to for life. Not the house, not the job, not the money, not the car, not the retirement plan, not the large family, not even the health. Jesus is where we turn to for life. And he's not commanding us, you have to give up all of these other things or he's going to judge you. He's commanding us, remember, all of these things want to kill you. Your enemy, the enemy of your soul, wants to use anything around you to kill you. I, that is Jesus, I want you to live because he's come to save us. And this is something that we have to remember every day. Because we are surrounded by things that the devil wants to use to distract us from our only source of life. And so Jesus says, pick up your cross every day and remember that I am your life. This is hard. I know it's hard. I struggle with it. I struggle with it in a lot of different ways. I struggle because I'm easily distractible, especially during baseball season. I've talked about that before. My team has lost the last 3 games straight. It's really hard for me right now. My son is currently playing a baseball game. At his last tournament last weekend, there were 2 people behind me who were earnestly praying, God, you have to give us this victory. We don't understand why you wouldn't do this. And I understand that. A, they're children. B, I am tempted to pray that myself all the time. But baseball isn't life. Jesus is life. Baseball is good. We enjoy it with Thanksgiving. But Jesus is life. We can get distracted. We can get confused. If you ever want to feel better about being upset and frustrated and confused by your relationship with God, read the Psalms. The Psalms are full of people saying, I don't understand. My enemies are all around me. Where are you, God? It's easy to get confused. And to think, wait, maybe Jesus isn't actually my life because this doesn't feel like life right now. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get confused. And it's easy to forget. In amongst all of the distractions and confusion, it is easy to forget the overwhelming magnitude of the love of Jesus for each and every one of us. A love that if we see it clearly, we can't do anything but say, oh my gosh, thank you. That is the most amazing and gracious thing. Holy, holy, holy are you that you would love me this much. It's easy to forget that. So we have a lot of things in place to help us. We can read our Bibles. Remember to focus our lives on God. We can live in community. Gather together every Sunday. Gather together during the week. Meet with family and friends. And not just, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? But really talk to each other and say, this is where I am with God. And support each other in that. And we have the sacraments every Sunday, except this Sunday, because I actually am not allowed to do that. Every Sunday, we gather and we receive Jesus afresh in these holy mysteries, where he reminds us that we are living members of his body, that his goal is to save us. So I want to encourage you. To pray, to read, to talk amongst yourselves, to come to church, to worship, to receive the sacraments, to remember that Jesus is our life. He has come to save us. And he's the only one we can trust to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy towards us. We thank you that even when we didn't know we were dying, you knew, and you came to us to show us the life you wanted for us. We are inclined to stumble, but you are faithful. Father, faithfully continue in your work to give this life to us and help us to participate with you, trusting that you are working in our lives to give us ever more of yourself. We ask all of these things through the most precious name of your Son, who together with you and the Holy Spirit we worship and glorify. Amen.